I don't really want to bring out negative feelings in you, but the football season that you every day get worried about and fear will end is about to be over.
No!
I know. And all we have left are these championship games and then the bowl games. But I do have some good news for you.
Oh, yeah? What's that?
The good news, and I know this will be good for you because I kind of know a thing or two about who on Saturdays you're rooting for. Georgia Tech is playing this Saturday.
Absolutely, and that makes the end of the regular season not so bad.
Right.
Because there are still games to be played. There are still things to be sought after. Mm. You know, there's still conversations to be had about who will end up where and who won't end up where, who's going to be on the outside looking in. And you know, Andrew, we were talking about it a little bit before the show. In all likelihood, Georgia Tech is going to the Orange Bowl.
Right? In all
whether they win this weekend or lose, they're likely going to the Orange Bowl. Mm. But how interesting is it that we are even in the conversation as a team that's on the outside looking in?
Right.
With what happened during the offseason, with the transfers, the injuries, the teams that were kicked off the team, the people who had, or the players that had trouble with their academics, with all of that going on, with the hype coming into the season at kind of an all-time low, people saying that Paul Johnson is on the hot seat, we were picked to finish fifth in our own division, Georgia Tech goes in and wins 10 games. They win the ACC Coastal outright, and now they're playing for a championship game. Andrew, I think that deserves an award, and Coach Paul Johnson won it today.
Oh, yeah, a gold star?
No, he won the ACC Coach of the Year award.
Yeah, I think that's a deserved award, Will, if there are no first-team ACC players, which I think, in our opinion, maybe there should have been one or two on there.
I think you could say maybe two.
Shaq Mason, in my opinion, is
Shaq
one of
Mason
the best linemen.
And you could probably argue for DJ White as well.
That, yeah. And I think when it's said and done, I think DJ White probably will be first-team ACC at some point. It is upsetting a little bit to me. I think that as a senior, I think Shaq Mason could have very easily... Watching him against
he won offensive lineman of the week something like four times this season for the ACC.
Yeah.
So it seems odd that he wouldn't make that list. But nonetheless, even so, with no all ACC players to do what they did.
All ACC first team, you mean?
All ACC first team, yeah. They did have several on the second and third team and some honorable mentions as well. But it is really interesting, and congratulations to Coach Paul Johnson. You know, I think he listens. Don't you think he listens?
Oh, yeah, I think he has in the past. But I was going to say, I went back and rewatched some of that game from Saturday, and Shaq Mason was just manhandling that defensive line at Georgia. I mean, he was pushing his guys forward 4 or 5 yards. He is a great lineman. I think that he's probably going to be playing on Sundays if he does well in the combine, which I think he probably will. So... it's exciting to be where Georgia Tech is. Like you said a minute ago, Will, I was thinking I never could have expected this, especially with all the things that went on the offseason when players kept getting kicked off the team or, you know, having bad grades or whatever. I kept thinking, gosh, I just hope we can hold on. And
there's a lot of people who are saying just get bowl eligible.
Just get bowl eligible.
Build this team up. You know, maybe you work towards 2015 or 2016. I think going into the season, most people thought that this may be some sort of transition year or rebuilding year of sorts. I don't think anybody guessed that we would be actually be competing for something and playing an undefeated team with, you know, former national champion, former Heisman winner. It's really exciting, and I can't wait for this weekend. And that, you know, just before we get into all this, because we are going to cover all of the conference championship games this weekend, even outside of the ACC and the SEC, I would like to introduce ourselves yet again for the Fourth and Short podcast. My name is Will Patton. I am joined by
Andrew Brown.
You can email us at fourthandshortpodcast@gmail.com and find us on Facebook simply by searching for Fourth and Short Podcast. Andrew, I think we should start with, to us, really, this is the most interesting matchup of the weekend. Florida State, Georgia Tech, ACC championship game. You know, it's really funny. Since we've started the podcast last year, our teams, you know, both of us went to Georgia Tech, and you go to Florida State now. Our teams have been extremely relevant through this whole thing, which for one thing, it makes doing this podcast a lot more fun because we get to talk about our teams more.
And I think it makes it more interesting for everybody that we can talk about these teams and not be a little bit of a stretch.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. So, you know, if at the beginning of the season, if we're hoping for who gets into the ACC championship game, these are the two teams that I think both of us want to be there. And I've asked you this question before, and I'm not going to ask you now on the podcast, but the question I think most people are wondering is, Andrew, who are you going to be cheering for? And I'm not going to make you answer that, but I'm sure it's a conundrum for you. I can tell you that I'm going to be cheering for the Yellow Jackets.
Well, Will, I'm a journalist, and I've got a podcast, so I have to be objective.
Far from a journalist, I think that we can be objective if we want to. But I'm not going to force you to choose between your chosen schools. Andrew, Georgia Tech is really hot right now. They go in and they beat Clemson soundly, and then go into Sanford Stadium in Athens and win a nail-biter versus UGA, a top-10 team. On the flip side, FSU has won 28 straight games. But this year, they're a different team than last year. Last year, they're beating teams by 2, 3, 4 touchdowns on average. This year, they're winning a lot of games by less than a touchdown. I believe that Georgia Tech will be the toughest team that FSU has seen all season. You look back at who they've played that was deemed, I guess, good at the beginning of the season for Florida State, and you got teams in there like Oklahoma State, Clemson, Notre Dame, Louisville, Miami. Georgia Tech is better than all of those teams. Andrew.
Are you asking me to agree with that? Well, I think it's funny that at the beginning of the season, if we go back and rewind the tape, you said if Florida State can beat Oklahoma State, they're going to run the table.
I did say that. I did.
And you were absolutely right. They ran the table. And it wasn't exactly the way people expected.
I mean, I think that was in one of my bold predictions at the beginning of the season. If we could go back,
it was, and
look at that. I think that was one of them.
Now, but here's the thing: I would like to point out, Florida State has played a lot of teams who have given them their best game. You look at Miami, the Miami team that played Florida State was really, really good. That quarterback, Brad Kaya, he was hitting receivers all over the field. I was watching that and I was like, gosh, he looks like a different quarterback. That Miami team was playing with all of those athletes that they have on all cylinders. When they lost, they just gave up. That team that played against Florida State was not the team that lost to Pittsburgh or Virginia. They just gave up. And I think that's kind of been one of the things that has hurt Florida State, is that they beat all these teams by so much last year.
Yeah.
And this year, all of these teams, I think, what, seven teams had a bye week before they played FSU.
Yeah.
And so all these teams were getting these extra weeks, and then they were giving them the best game they've had, and then went thinking, we're going to be the team. We want to be the team to knock Florida State off. And I think that Georgia Tech wants to be that team this week. So I think you got to be careful, because every other team has said, well, we're going to be the one. However, something that plays into Georgia Tech's favor is this. Going back to the game against Miami, and you could say the same thing about Florida, but at Florida, it was closer early on. Against Miami, Florida State got down, I think it was 16-0, and then they were down at halftime by 21 points or so. Florida State in the second half had about 7 possessions.
Right.
That was enough for them to, with 45 seconds to go in the game, score a go-ahead touchdown, win the game. If you get down by that amount, Georgia Tech's not going to give you enough possessions in the second half to get back in the game. There just won't be enough possessions. Florida State's not going to be able to slow. Even if they slow down Georgia Tech, it's not going to be enough to give Florida State the ball back every 3 minutes.
Do you know how many possessions Georgia had against Georgia Tech?
I think it was 2 in the second half, right?
They had they had 3 in the second half, and they had 8 total.
Yeah.
Georgia Tech does a really good job of like basically shortening the game. So if FSU allows Georgia Tech to get up early, like they've allowed other teams to get up early in the past 4 or 5 weeks, I think Georgia Tech has the ability to shut the door in the second half.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just by simply running the clock out. Georgia Tech,
absolutely.
Georgia Tech had an 11-minute, 19-second drive against Georgia.
That's incredible.
No, wait, excuse me. It wasn't that long. I take that back completely.
It sounded incredible.
It sounded incredible. They had what equated to nearly that because they got the ball back. I forgot about that. It actually ended up being closer to 9 minutes, but they got the ball back on that pooch kick. So,
well,
sorry.
Here's the thing, Will, that you have to look at. I remember somebody saying this a couple years ago. Go back to Georgia playing Florida. Georgia, before this year, had beaten Florida 3 years in a row. Is that right?
Right.
Okay, so that would mean that the first time they beat Florida, it had been several years since they did it. Okay, it was Will Muschamp's first year. Georgia beat Florida, it was like 24-21. It was a close game. If you look at the stat line in that game, Georgia just completely dominated Florida. But because Florida had won so many times in a row, it was so difficult for Georgia to get ahead. And the announcers on the game said this, and I thought, this is really insightful, which is rare for some of these TV announcers. But they said, if you are some team that has lost repeatedly to another team, you have to decisively outplay that team to escape with a win. If you play even, they're going to get the break because they believe they're going to win.
Yeah.
In this past week, Georgia Tech decisively outplayed Georgia. That's 2 weeks in a row that they just dominated the team. In that second half, Georgia Tech's offensive line was just manhandling Georgia to the point that, I don't know if you noticed this, but Georgia's strength and conditioning coach, Joe Terzinski, resigned this week. And I'm going to tell you that it was partly because Georgia should not, in theory, ever be dominated on the lines by yeah. Georgia Tech. So Georgia Tech forced Georgia to get their strength and conditioning coach his walking papers. That's the honest truth right there. I think that Georgia's line is probably better. At least I think Georgia's offensive line is better than Florida State's. So I don't know what you want to make of that, but I think that Georgia Tech could really, really do very well in this game because Florida State has not had a consistent running game all year. Problem that they've had is Carlos Williams has not been very consistent, and the backup, Dalvin Cook, is not a great pass blocker. Well, that's never a recipe for a success. So Jameis Winston's forced to throw it a lot. Well, that plays right into Ted Roof's scheme. It could be a long day. It really could. And
another thing to consider is Georgia Tech is extremely good at forcing turnovers, especially interceptions.
Right. Jameis Winston threw four of them this last week.
He sure did. So, I think you're right. I think the teams that we have done best against are teams that we force them to throw the ball. And I think that FSU is going to be throwing the ball a lot in this game. And Winston, you know, most people don't describe Winston as a dual threat quarterback. He can run a little bit if needed, but the quarterbacks that have given Georgia Tech the most trouble this season are the dual threat quarterbacks. Jameis Winston isn't one of those guys. Uh-huh. He's a great quarterback. He's going to get it to his receivers. He's going to throw some touchdown passes. But I think like you said, the defensive scheme that Ted Roof puts together is very well suited for FSU, and I believe the offense that, you know, limiting possessions, running the ball a lot, I think that really plays into Georgia Tech's hands. I mean, you saw what Boston College was able to do against Florida State, and I believe that Georgia Tech has a better running game than Boston College. I think that it's a very good matchup for Georgia Tech. I think Georgia Tech is the last team that Florida State would want to play. All of that said, Florida State is extremely talented. You know, not, you know, outside of Jameis Winston, they are extremely talented, and they will be competitive in this game. For people who think that Georgia Tech is going to go in there and win hands down, I think that you're ignoring the fact that it is not easy to win 28 straight. I think the College Football Playoff Committee, has ignored the fact that what Florida State has done is really kind of unprecedented with winning all these games consecutively. This is going to be a close game. And I'll tell you right now, Andrew, I'm going to pick Georgia Tech to win, because I truly believe that they can. But I think that Florida State is going to give Georgia Tech everything they have, and it's going to come down to the fourth quarter. And I think where every other team failed in stopping Florida State from making a comeback, I think Georgia Tech has it in them to succeed in preventing Jameis Winston from mounting a heroic comeback at the end of the game.
Well, I think that there have been so many people repeatedly every week who have said the same thing about every team that Florida State has played. Here's the problem, Will. The group of players that are going to take the field for Florida State know how to win.
They do. They absolutely know how to win.
They find a way. I would say if you look at the stat line, I think probably half the games that Florida State has played this year, all of the big ones, they've been outgained in total yards. But they find a way to win. And as much as I would like to say, hey, yeah, you're right, Will, Georgia Tech's going to find a way to win, they're going to dominate the line of scrimmage, I said it all season long with Mississippi State, and I don't know how I couldn't say it against for Florida State. It's hard to pick this team because they keep winning. They make you look like a fool because you look at the line, you're like, well, my goodness, they did this, they did this. Jameis Winston threw four interceptions. They fumble at an inopportune time. I just don't see how they can win, but they do it every week. I'm going to tell you, Will, Florida State's not going to give anything away easily. Like you said, it's going to be a close game. I think we're looking at a 30-28 kind of game. I said it all season long. Finally, we've seen it this year that Harrison Butker won and he tied a game for you this year. Mm-hmm. Great kicker. You need him. You're going to need him in this game because Florida State has probably the best kicker in the country in Aguayo. So I think it's going to come down to a kicker who can make the kick at the end of the game. I think that based on what we've seen, it's hard for me to pick against Florida State. Georgia Tech's going to be in the Orange Bowl. Florida State's going to be in the College Football Playoff.
Okay. I think both of those are, there's no wrong picks here. I think that this game is is...
Well, I mean, there is a wrong pick.
Well,
I mean,
there will this, be, but this you know, going the into bee. The game, going into the game, I think Florida State is favored by, what, 3 points, maybe?
It's like three, yeah.
So it's a very close line to begin with. I think that the atmosphere in the stadium is going to be really good. Georgia Tech has sold out of their allotment, as you know, both the general tickets that they've been given and the student tickets. I think that a lot of other people are buying tickets outside of the Georgia Tech allotment. I don't know if the stadium is going to be full, but I think it might be the biggest crowd for the ACC championship game in recent memory, maybe ever. We'll just have to see. I suspect a lot of Tech fans are going to be coming, especially with the momentum of beating Georgia. Should be a really cool atmosphere. Should be a lot of fun. Might be a little bit wet, which you know,
I've heard that.
Does that play into Georgia Tech's hands? There's an 80% chance of rain right now. Other thing to consider is DeAndre Smelter. Unfortunately, he's out. I believe he tore his ACL on kind of a questionable late hit against Georgia in the first half of the Georgia game. He is done, and I don't think that we're going to do what Deshaun Watson did or Clemson did with Deshaun Watson and play him. I think he is out. So will the other receivers for Georgia Tech be able to step up, or will we even use those receivers, or will we do to Florida State what we did in the what Georgia Tech did in the second half of the Georgia game and just pound the ball? I don't know. We'll have to see. It will be a fun game. Can't wait to see it, and we will both be there. So,
I've heard that.
Yeah, I've heard that too. So look for us on the tube. Okay, next game. Alabama and Missouri in the Georgia Dome SEC Championship game. Alabama is number one, even though they have a loss on their resume. Missouri is way down the list right now at number 16. They are an SEC team, believe it or not, even though people don't in the SEC still don't accept them. They are in the SEC. This is their second time in a row in this game. No one is giving Missouri a chance. Is there a good reason for that?
Well, it is funny. I mean, you're right, Will. I was listening to somebody today say that in all of these championship games, both teams at least have a chance. The ball could bounce their way or whatever, except Missouri.
Right.
I don't know, Will. I saw on Saturday night Alabama give up over 600 yards.
628 yards to an Auburn team that didn't do anything against Georgia.
And Missouri has no chance because somehow they find a way to win every week. Every single week, everybody picks Missouri to lose. How many Georgia fans have their SEC championship games on tickets on eBay right now? Because because for 6 weeks they said, well, Missouri's going to lose one. They have to.
They haven't lost since October 11th. And yeah, they got creamed by Georgia. But they've beaten Florida, Vandy, Kentucky, Texas A&M, Tennessee, Arkansas, all in a row. By my count, that's six in a row. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding. I think this is kind of ridiculous that nobody's giving them a chance. I think that it could be a closer game than people expect.
They have good defense. Their defensive line may be
very underrated.
Very underrated, maybe one of the best defensive lines in the country, not just in the SEC. Matty Malk is a good quarterback. He's not a great quarterback, but he is good. They got a couple of really good running backs in Hansborough and Murphy, and they got a stud receiver in Sasser, who has almost 1,000 yards this season. So, I mean, they've got the tools. They got the defense. Alabama, like you said, they gave up 628 yards against an Auburn team that is a shell of their former selves.
Hey, but that's the defense right there from Alabama that's the best defense in the country. It's the best defense in the SEC, Will.
I mean, their defenses looked really good in a lot of games. It looked really good against Arkansas. It looked perfect against Texas A&M. The LSU game was low scoring, as that always is. And they played pretty well against, Mississippi State as well. I don't know. This game doesn't seem as clear cut to me. I think at the end of the day, I think that Alabama is going to win. And I'm going to pick them for that reason, because I think Nick Saban is the better coach. I think they have the better players. I think that Alabama will win this game, but I wouldn't be surprised if somehow Missouri pulls the upset.
Yeah, I'm going to pick Alabama also. I think that Missouri can make it close and keep it close, but Alabama's been there before. Alabama's going to win the game. Roll Tide, roll.
Okay, a couple of other championship games that we're going to talk about real quick. We're going to call these games, but we're not. I can't really speak much about these programs because I don't really know much about either of these four of these programs. But Friday night, which is very odd to me that the Pac-12 championship game is on a Friday night, that these two schools have to play on short rest. For their championship game. That just doesn't seem right to me. I don't know why you couldn't move this game to Saturday. But Friday night, you have number 7 Arizona against number 2 Oregon. I will say right now that I believe that whoever wins this game is going to be in the college football playoff. Oregon has looked dominant on offense all season long, with the exception of one game to Arizona.
Ooh.
Exactly. Arizona is a good team as well. They have losses to USC and to UCLA. But they've got a pretty good offense and a okay defense. Their one signature win on the season is beating Arizona. What do you think? Is this the type of game where Arizona can pull the upset twice, or is Oregon going to roll in this one?
I think that the old coach over there in Alabama, Nick Saban's eyes are going to be blood red, because he's going to watch these teams play and he's going to be thinking they need to slow down. They're going too fast. There are going to be so many points. Both teams are going to be running straight to the line after every single play. I mean, you just might as well turn the play clocks off. They're not
right.
Using them.
Yeah.
It's never going to get to below 25 anyway. I'm going to pick Oregon. I for a long time have said I've wanted to see a school win a national title that's never won it before. When was the last time we had it? It's been a long time. I'm going to pick Oregon. I think Oregon's going to win. I think that they're going to get in the playoff. They've been so close so many times. I think this could be the year that they're in the playoff, and they might win the whole thing. So we'll see. But in this first one, I like what they do with Rich Rodriguez at Arizona, but it's hard to beat the same school twice, Will.
It is really hard. Marcus Mariota is probably going to win the Heisman Trophy. I haven't gotten a chance to watch him play very much, but when I have, he is fun to watch. He
plays past your bedtime, Will.
A little bit past my bedtime, but he is all over the place. He's got a great arm. He can run the ball. He has over 600 rushing yards on the season, with over 3,400 passing yards and 36 passing touchdowns to go along with 11 rushing touchdowns. I mean, this guy's a touchdown machine. He's going to do the same thing against Arizona. But really, whoever wins this game is going to be the representative for the Pac-12 in the playoffs. So it'll be fun to watch, and I will be tuning in on Friday night for sure. But I'm going to agree with you, and I'm going to pick Oregon in this one. Okay, and then the other championship game, Wisconsin number 13 right now versus number 5 Ohio State.
Do they have a quarterback at Ohio State, Will?
That is the question of the day. If you're not aware, JT Barrett, the really sensational quarterback for Ohio State, who replaced Braxton at the beginning of the year. If you remember, Braxton went down before the season started, and everybody, you know, was very, very nervous about, you know, oh, they've lost their quarterback. Well, JT Barrett has played exceptional, and many thought that he was a dark horse for the Heisman Trophy as well. Well, he broke his ankle against Michigan. Now, their backup came in and played pretty well. Is he going to be good enough to beat Wisconsin? I don't know. Wisconsin, on the other hand, they have one of the best running backs, if not the best running back in the country, in Melvin Gordon. If you remember, he had that game early in the season where he, what did he run for? Something like, 408 yards, which was the single game record until the very next week when a freshman beat it, took that title away from him. But, you know, it was a record that stood for many years until he broke it. He is a lot of fun to watch, and you got to believe that he's going to probably score some touchdowns against Ohio State. What do you think about this one? Who's gonna take the cake at the end of the day on this one?
I'm going to pick Wisconsin, Will. I think that Ohio State is good, but the last time that their new quarterback was trying to play his first big game, he lost to Virginia Tech.
Absolutely.
And Wisconsin is better than Virginia Tech. I'm going to pick Wisconsin. I think they're going to win. It's going to be close.
Yeah,
but they're going to upset.
A championship game is really not where you want to break in a new quarterback. And, you know, I think Wisconsin might be a little bit too much to handle. There's going to be a situation where the new quarterback, which I believe is going to be, I can't remember his name, Jones, not Chipper, but Cardale Jones, he's a sophomore. He's going to make a mistake in his first start. That's undeniable that it's going to happen. So, you know, whether it be a big interception or a fumble or a bad read or whatever, he's going to make a mistake and it's going to cost his team some points. So I think that Wisconsin has the edge in this one, even though I think at the end of the day, Ohio State probably would have won had they had JT Barrett. But I think in this situation, Wisconsin is going to win it. And
wow.
That begs the question.
Okay.
What
question
happens on Sunday? Who is going to get into the playoffs?
Oh, I didn't know. Sunday, I was like, well, I think there's a Christmas function at my church, but
well,
I didn't know if that's what you were talking about. I was going to go
Sunday
on a hayride.
Sunday afternoon, the College Football Playoff Committee is going to be announcing who is going where in terms of the playoffs and the bowls. You got Alabama right now. So this is fresh. This is. I'm sure you've seen this if you're listening. But Alabama is currently number one. Oregon at number two. TCU at three. And undefeated Florida State is at four, and then your next few, you got Ohio State at five, Baylor at six, Arizona at seven, Michigan State at eight, Kansas State at nine, Mississippi State at 10, Georgia Tech at 11, Ole Miss 12, Wisconsin 13, Georgia 14, and so on and so forth. What do you believe will be the final four when it's all said and done?
Oregon will be in there.
I think so. I think Oregon will be in there. I think they I think they beat Arizona, but I think that, like I said earlier, I think Oregon or Arizona is going to take that Pac-12 spot.
Alabama will be in there.
I think so too. Now let me ask you this: if Missouri beats Alabama,
nope.
Do you think Alabama's out of it?
Oh, yeah, I think they're out of it. I thought you were going to ask if I thought Missouri was in.
No, no, Missouri will not be in. Missouri is way too far down the list to even have a shot.
Yeah, Bama would be out of it.
Okay. Okay.
I then think, but I don't think that's going to happen. So, Oregon, Alabama, Florida State, Baylor.
Baylor.
Baylor. Baylor's going
to
come in.
Now, are you saying that because you think that TCU is going to lose to Iowa State?
No, I'm saying that because I think that Baylor is going to beat Kansas State convincingly enough. And I think at their, in their post-game press conference, the coaches at Baylor, Art Briles and the other coaches, are going to say, look, head-to-head, we beat TCU. How can you do this to these kids that work so hard and beat TCU, the team that you want to put in the playoff ahead of us? He's going to play to those heartstrings of the voters, and I think Baylor will be in there.
I think that is a pretty soft. I think that is probably what it's going to be. Now let's have some fun.
Okay, well, quickly.
We'll quickly have some fun here. But I want to know, or I want to tell you, how Georgia Tech can get into the Final Four.
Okay, let me hear your conspiracy theory. I see some aliens and some Bigfoots just walking around too, so we can talk about that also.
I believe they prefer to be called Sasquatch, so.
Mm, or a Yeti, right?
Yeah, the Abominable Snowman. Here's the thing. I think that Alabama is going to win, so I think that they're safe in their spot. You know, with Oregon and Arizona, I don't think it matters which one of them win. I think that TCU is going to be in the number three spot. And this is my hypothetical with Georgia Tech getting in. So if Alabama, Oregon, and TCU win, or Oregon or Arizona, it doesn't really matter, that those three spots are decided. So that leaves the fourth spot undecided. If Georgia Tech beats Florida State on Saturday, right now sitting at number four is Ohio State, or excuse me, is Florida State. So if Georgia Tech beats them, they're out. I don't think that, even with one loss, I don't think Florida State sitting, you know, coming off of a loss, is going to stay at four. I think that they'll drop. Next, you have Ohio State playing Wisconsin. If Wisconsin beats Ohio State, Ohio State is out. Next, you have Baylor. If Baylor gets beat by Kansas State, Baylor is out. Arizona's next. If they get beat by Oregon, they're out. Michigan State is idle. I don't think that Michigan State has a chance at getting in. I don't care what happens. They're idle. They didn't win their division. They're out. Kansas State is next. We'll get back to them in a second. Then there's Mississippi State. They are idle as well. I don't think that they're going to get in, not winning their division. Mississippi State is out. Next is Georgia Tech. If Georgia Tech can convincingly beat Florida State, then that number four spot is going to be up for grabs between Georgia Tech and Kansas State. Then you have to decide who gets in and who is going to be the number five team looking in and missing out on the party.
Mm-hmm.
TCU is already going to the championship game. Or, excuse me, going to the playoffs if they beat Iowa State. I don't think that there will be two Big 12 teams in the Final Four. And that's how I think Georgia Tech gets in. So to sum up, three things need to happen for Georgia Tech to get in. You beat Florida State convincingly, Wisconsin beats Ohio State, and Kansas State beats Baylor. And Georgia Tech is in.
Yeah, wow. I can't believe it's going
to
happen.
And if, you know, if you want to have a little bit of a bonus, Alabama can lose to Missouri. And if you want to have real assurance, Iowa State beats TCU, but that's not going to happen. Iowa State's really bad. They've only won two
games. Well, half the stuff on there is not going to happen. So.
I agree with you, but I'm just saying, do you remember 2007? Do you remember how crazy 2007
was? I do remember 2007, but...
2007 was insane, and a lot of unpredictable things happened that last week of the season. Perhaps the same will happen this year. Who knows? Who knows?
I don't know. I do not know. I do know you're right. In 2007, West Virginia, all they had to do was beat Pittsburgh, a team that wasn't even going to a bowl, and they were going to be in the national title game. And if they were in the national title game, I think that we're not even having the conversation about Arizona right now, because I think Rich Rodriguez would have won the national title and he'd still be at West Virginia right now.
Yeah, burning couches every weekend.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay, here's another hypothetical.
Okay.
One more. Just give me, come on, play along. Okay?
Wow, I can't believe it. This is so crazy. It could happen.
Florida State beats Georgia Tech and doesn't get into the Final Four.
That is very likely, Will. I think that that's possible. If Florida State does what they've done and they're losing, let's say at halftime, Georgia Tech is up 21-3. Okay?
Okay.
And then let's say that Florida State goes on to win the game, scores right as the game is ending, and they win the game. Florida State wins 29-28.
Okay, so they go for
kick a field goal. Right there as it ends, okay? 29-28, something like that. And then let's say that Ohio State, on their third-string quarterback, first time he's played, okay, goes in and just destroys Wisconsin. How on earth is Urban Meyer going to let the College Football Playoff Committee not hear all about how those boys deserve to be in the playoff? And how could they not oblige him? I would say then you put in Ohio State, and it was not a convincing win for Florida State. They are not the most convincing team. They seem like an average team. So the College Football Playoff Committee is going to have to make the hard decision to put the four best college football teams, not the four best records, the four best teams. And, Will, they are the experts. They know about college football, and they know who the four best teams are, even if they don't have the best record, and they could leave Florida State out.
I think that if Alabama, Oregon, TCU win, I think, and if that situation happens, I would not at all be surprised. And the fact that TCU jumped Florida State this week is just another
insane
indication that what you're talking about not only may happen, it might likely happen.
Yeah. Yeah, it's bizarre, but here's the thing, Will. You can't make any predictions because you got 12 people sitting in a room and they have a blank sheet of paper every week.
Yeah, apparently a blank sheet
of paper.
Yeah,
they don't care about anything that's happened the week before, even though they look at the body of work.
Well, there's game control. Don't forget about game control. And you know,
Alabama
had
that
against Auburn.
Alabama gave up 620 yards. They were outgained by Auburn by 100 yards, and they had game control and had to come back in the third quarter. Okay. That's realistic.
I mean, I think if you look at Alabama versus Auburn, and you look at FSU versus Florida, the two games are very similar. It's just one was high scoring, one was low scoring.
Right. And Auburn is a great team, Will.
Oh,
they're in the
SEC
West.
They're so
SEC
good.
West,
yeah,
right?
The SEC East, they're not, you know, really, they're not even really part of the SEC when you think about it.
No. They're bad. So beating an SEC East team doesn't prove anything. Now, it doesn't matter the fact that the SEC West, none of those teams actually play anybody outside of the SEC West.
Well, you know, they're 29-0. The SEC West is 29-0 in non-conference play. Did you know that?
Oh, yeah. Well, but you play Stephen F. Austin, you'd be 29-0 also.
Yeah. I think the toughest team played by any team...
Wisconsin
by LSU, yeah. And they almost lost that game.
They should have lost.
They should have lost it. The second hardest probably was West Virginia by Alabama, and then after that, I can't even think.
And West Virginia isn't really that good.
No, they're really not. They're really not.
They haven't been good since Rich Rodriguez left, really.
Yeah, yeah. Should be an interesting weekend. That is for certain. I know that I will be watching a lot of these games. I will be attending one of them. Gonna keep my eye on the scores. There's a lot of games going on at the same time. Georgia Tech Florida State game. The Kansas State Baylor game is kicking off 15 minutes before then. And the Wisconsin-Ohio State game is kicking off 17 minutes after it. And don't forget, Andrew, Temple plays Tulane at 7:30 that night.
Okay.
So you got to make sure you catch up on that one. So, you know, a lot could happen between the hours of 7:45 and about 11:30 or so. We should have a pretty clear understanding of where everybody's going to be. I think that I agree with the four that's going to be in the playoff with Alabama, Oregon, FSU, and Baylor. I can get on board with that. I think Georgia Tech's going to be playing in the Orange Bowl, regardless of whether they win or lose. I think that is where they end up, and that is nothing to scoff at all. That should be really exciting. But it'll be a fun weekend, and I'm looking forward to covering it on the Sunday after.
Yeah, I will also.
Well, I think that's a podcast. Thanks for listening. If you agree with us or disagree, please email us at fourthandshortpodcast@gmail.com. And also follow us on Facebook by searching for Fourth and Short Podcast. If you haven't got a ticket to one of these games, you should get one. They're still available. They're out there. I think you're probably going to pay about 8 times more for one for the one in Atlanta than you are for the one in Charlotte. But
well, it's inside in Atlanta.
That's
so.
True. It's inside. You got air conditioning in there. So
yeah.
So well, anyway, thanks for listening, folks. My name, of course, is Will Patton. I've been joined by
Andrew Brown.
This is the Fourth and Short Podcast. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.